Seth Rollins continues his tear on SmackDown Live. Bayley and Alexa have one of their best interactions to date. And Drake Maverick finally catches up with R-Truth. All that and your full SmackDown Live review right after this word from our sponsor. Do you guys love to play video games? And do you have an Android phone? Then check out Gravity Maze. It's a super addictive game in which you press and hold the arrows to rotate the maze, and you try to fall as far as you can. You pick up coins along the way, just don't bump into the walls. It's got really good reviews, nearly 4 stars out of 5 on the Google Play Store. I downloaded this app, and let me tell you, I got lost in time. It's one of those deals where you just start playing, and the next thing you know, you just can't put it down. And I can tell you, Gravity Maze is one of those apps. So check out Gravity Maze on the Google Play Store right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
And you are listening to the WWE Podcast on this Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. We're going to go over all the SmackDown Live happenings. I just was able to finish up watching it. I watched the Hulu version, the 90-minute version, and I find that I don't really miss a whole lot, particularly when I'm even watching Monday Night Raw in 90-minute version. I don't miss a whole lot. That's half the time that it actually airs, and I'm still feeling like I'm not missing any key ingredients or key storylines. I can always go back and just read the filler that is taken out of Monday Night Raw in the 90-minute compressed version. So I don't have cable, so I am a Hulu guy, and so that is what I always base my reviews on. And then, of course, I subsequently read up on any of the things that I may have missed in that shortened version. So, again, guys, welcome. Thank you. And we have, I think, a good show for you. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a little bit similar to yesterday in that it's a review show. And except this time we are reviewing SmackDown Live. And I thought it was a very good show. I enjoyed it for, you know, as a whole. I think it was better than Monday Night Raw was. Anytime a show is not 3 hours, it automatically bumps it up a grade, even if sometimes the storylines or matches aren't that, you know, top notch. Just that extra hour being shaved off immediately bumps it up. So that's always a plus for SmackDown Live. And I hope they never, ever, ever go to 3 hours. So we're going to get to all the happenings. And one of the big key takeaways, I think, from SmackDown Live, there are a few. To me, the one that stands out the most is Bayley and Alexa and their work shoot promo. And while it was worked to be a work shoot promo, so ultimately I guess it's just a worked promo, it brought me in, right? That's always the goal. That's what I always say, is it has to be able to create an emotion, elicit an emotion from the viewers. And I think it did that for the most part. It was uncomfortable at times, and Alexa, as the heel, actually brought up some good points that if you're a heel, typically you wouldn't do. But, I mean, she said that Bayley peaked in NXT. Would anybody deny that? Would anybody really try to counter that? Name a single moment in Bayley's career in which she, on the main roster, superseded her NXT career. I can't. To be honest, I would give Bayley coming up to the main roster a D. And I don't really put that on Bayley. I put it on the creative and the lack of direction and the up and the down and the left and the right. And having her be a hugger, and now she's not a hugger, but I don't know. I mean, she's got Bayley buddies, but she was Sasha's friend and then Sasha's enemy, and all this stuff. I mean, this is on creative. This isn't necessarily on Bayley, and I'd give creative a D minus on her since she's been brought up to the main roster. And so now she's paired back with Alexa. They haven't had a program together since the infamous Bayley, This Is Your Life, that was critically panned. I mean, it was just uncomfortable, but in a bad way. And we all remember how bad that was. And this is, I think, a much bigger improvement. While some people may frown upon the worked shoot promos, I think they add life to a program that needed it, and really characters that needed it, particularly Bayley, who needs a revitalization. And having her win the SmackDown Money in the Bank women's ladder match and then win the championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship, that same night from Charlotte, was a step in the right direction and a message to fans that we are going to try to reinvigorate, restart, repackage, and reboot Bayley. And you know, that's of course step one. Step two is to actually, you know, give her character something to sink her teeth into beyond "I'm a hugger." And since she has publicly stated she's no longer giving hugs, although we haven't seen a change in her character at all, and she dresses differently. She's got jeans on, or as Alexa said, she looks like she works at Forever 21. That was kind of funny. Alexa is just, the problem is Alexa is beloved by fans even when she's a heel because she's so good. Number one, she's an extremely attractive woman. Okay, that doesn't hurt. Number two, she's a very good promo. She's believable on the mic. She's got a backhanded, charming presence that is, it makes you want to watch and listen to what she says. She's very snarky but very charming. It's an interesting combination. And of course, as I said, very good looking woman, that never hurts either. So fans don't really hate Alexa, even if WWE books her as a heel. She's difficult to really truly dislike. So that's a challenge for Bayley right off the bat. But their verbal exchange was memorable. It was needed to really add some fuel to this fire and fuel to this match that's going to be happening at Stomping Grounds. And do I expect Bayley to drop the SmackDown Women's Championship? I haven't decided yet. I think there's a case to be made for both sides. Tune into tomorrow's show, by the way. My co-host Anthony DeMarco and I will be addressing our predictions and thoughts for the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view. That'll be happening Sunday, so tune in tomorrow. Little plug there. But I'm enjoying this program more than I thought by the simple fact that this promo added life to this feud. And it needed it in the worst way. And I had flashbacks to Bayley, This Is Your Life. It got erased pretty quickly. And they spoke a lot of truth to each other. And I enjoyed it. And so the interesting key part of that, too, beyond the promo itself, was Nikki Cross as the wild card in all this, no pun intended. She stood idly by for a few moments as Bayley was wailing on Alexa Bliss. And then Nikki pulled Bayley off of Alexa, never actually had a physical exchange with her in terms of punching, slapping, kicking. And then it just created an opportunity for Alexa to, get a cheap shot in on Bayley and leave her laying. So that was interesting in the sense that do Nikki Cross's intentions and loyalties truly lie with Alexa? Because I'm glad that Bayley brought up the fact that, hey, Nikki, you're being played for a fool here. Have you watched the programming? And have you seen what she did to Nia Jax and Mickie James? I mean, those are good points. I've said that on this podcast too. So, hey, maybe they're listening. But it was a good point to bring up because Nikki looks like a fool for trusting Alexa. And by the way, I'm also not understanding this coffee gig. Is it an inside joke? Like, when Becky and Charlotte and Bailey all were doing like the T thing that was really stupid looking. It looked dumb. And I don't understand this coffee thing with Alexa. Maybe it'll catch on. Maybe it won't. I don't know where it's coming from. Is it from social media? Did somebody see her backstage and then just like, hey, run with that. Yeah, that's a cool little thing. I mean, I applaud them for trying to add a little bit to her character, or if this is Alexa's idea, I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe she's just, it fits in with her snobby, egotistical on-air personality. I don't know, but I can't really figure out the coffee thing. I'm really trying to find where that originated. But so that's my analysis and thoughts on Bailey and Alexa. And I'll have, again, my predictions tomorrow. Another key takeaway here, believe it or not, is Drake Maverick finally catching up to R-Truth and dressing up as Carmella, waiting for the ride to pick up Truth so he could get out of there, ends up pinning Truth finally, and Drake Maverick drives off. So that was, you know, I don't want to say it was a massive talking point of the show, but I've enjoyed Drake Maverick on social media just going overboard trying to find Truth. I love when any talent ever goes all in on a character, regardless if it's terrible or not. I love when they go all in. And right now, Drake Maverick, at least on social media, was going all in on making it a believable, or I guess entertaining and believable to as far as I guess that could go, rivalry and search that he was on for R-Truth. Just the absurdity of the places he would go, the time that he would actually take to put wanted posters out as if someone's actually going to, you know, say, hey, yeah, Drake, I found R-Truth. He's over here. You know, to actually go to that extent is pretty funny. I like Drake Maverick. I mean, anytime he's not peeing his pants on live television, as I said on my feed, you know, a number of weeks ago, Drake Maverick is being used in the right role right now. He is competing for a championship that is, I don't want to use the word joke, it's not a credible championship. It's more of just the entertainment part of the brand of WWE. It's more entertainment-y than sports. So that's where Drake belongs. R-Truth is a perfect candidate for this championship. So R-Truth is no longer champion of the 24/7 title. I could do without the constant running around like everyone's equated to the Benny Hill music. And if you don't know what the Benny Hill music is, why don't you just do me a favor right now? And if you're in front of your TV screen, or you have a second device, because you're probably listening to me on a smart device right now, use this as a second screen and just take a listen to the music that I'm about to play and imagine this as the theme song for every single time we have people chasing R-Truth around the building, backstage, outside, around the ring. This is really what should be playing. And unfortunately, every single time I see this, it reminds me of this. So just take a listen. So I think you guys get the idea here. And somebody else brought this up. It wasn't me who thought of the Benny Hill music, but that's exactly what it sounds like. And I picture as the background theme or in, you know, in some kind of ridiculous comedy, 60s, 70s comedy, or even a cartoon. It just feels a little much every single time I see people chasing R-Truth. That is really what now I cannot get out of my brain. And now you won't either. So you're welcome. So that's another thing I really liked about SmackDown. I also liked Dolph Ziggler's promo, for the most part, to Kofi Kingston. It was a little bit repetitive. I think we're getting to the point of like, okay, Dolph, like, either, you know, pee or get off the pot. Like, you know, either win the championship or don't, so we can move on. A little bit of a spoiler, I don't think Dolph Ziggler is going to retain the champion or beat Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. I don't think I'm giving anything away there. As far as predictions, I don't really believe that's a prediction. As Paul Heyman would say, that's more of a spoiler. And we have Dolph Ziggler out there, and you know, he was calm for the most part, no screaming. He was, again, saying it should have been me, and that Kofi Kingston's undeserving, and he blames it again on Xavier Woods, and ends up obviously pinning him later in the show, as he should. You need to build that all-important momentum going into the pay-per-view. What I am, the narrative of this whole cage match is preposterous. And not because I don't think they're going to have a good match. I think they will. They could easily steal the show. Again, they are seasoned vets. They have very similar styles. And they know how to perform. They know how to get the crowd invested. Both guys do. I really put both on the same playing field. I really do. But this whole idea and narrative that's being spewed by WWE and the announcers that, there can be no interference, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, blah, blah, blah. How many times over the decades have we seen that proven wrong? Interference, people hiding under the ring. Interference, people just, what's stopping anybody from entering the match over the top? Even if the referee doesn't open the door, couldn't anyone just easily climb over the top? There's no disqualifications. So the idea that nobody can interfere is baloney, and it's just preposterous to believe that we are supposed to believe that. And yet for 25, 30, 40 years of cage matches, that has been proven wrong. Another deal with the cage matches beyond the impossibility that nobody can interfere is the fact that anybody can win by climbing over the top and escaping, or just having the referee open the door. Really? And I've said this before, so I'll keep it short for those of you that are like, oh, here he goes again. I've heard this one before. I just will say, think about the ridiculousness of that when you have world-class athletes who are supposed to be competing against each other, and the way that you win is by running away from your opponent. Who can run away from their opponent faster? Think about that. That is ultimately the premise of how to win this match. To me, if I was booking a cage match and I was the promotion, there would never, ever, ever be an option to win the match by climbing over the top and escaping, or through the door. Specifically over the door. Or through the door. All you have to do is just have the referee open the door and you just walk out. Anybody could win at any given time if that is the case. I'm just not understanding how that is ever an option for a cage match. How? Why? It should never be. It's just maddening because these super athletes can, jump over a tall building in a single bound, yet they just seem to have so much trouble climbing ladders when they need to grab a championship or a briefcase, and they have just brain farts every single time that they need to climb a cage to get out and you want to win the match. It's just they just go in slow motion. I mean, it's some kind of disease that they get inflicted with every single time that their feet touch that mesh steel. And man, oh man, I mean, I know I'm belittling this stipulation, and it should be belittled. It's preposterous. It's the word of the day, I guess. It's ridiculous that you have to believe that that is a method of victory. It should be pinfall or submission. End of story inside of a cage. Pinfall or submission only. Doesn't keep anybody out, and it exposes the business in a way it doesn't need to be exposed. So, but anyway, I am looking forward to the match. I am enjoying Dolph Ziggler as he is presently constituted. I think that he is doing some of his best mic work that he's done in a while. He did some good mic work against The Miz when he's put his career on the line, and we're seeing it now. I think it's just, again, It's going to be more of the same with Dolph. It's going to be more of the same where we're supposed to believe that he's going to win, or he's going to try to convince us he can win. And in the end, it's just more of the same booking for Dolph Ziggler, which got him in this position in the first place with fans and how they view Ziggler, which is you're a good wrestler. You can sell the hell out of a match. You can make your opponent look great. You know, you're a good looking dude. You cut a decent promo, but you're going to lose. And we know that. So we'll enjoy your match, but we're not going to get behind your character because we have no reason to believe that you'll ever win and that we can. I mean, that is just what WWE Creative has educated us to believe, and I have no reason to think that this is any different. So as good as his promo was on SmackDown Live, and it was good, and he's talented. He's a talented guy in all aspects of being a professional wrestler. There's no question. He is a very good in-ring performer, and he has all the tools. The problem is Creative has jerked him around so much that I have zero faith. Zero faith, whether he's a heel, whether he's a babyface, doesn't even matter anymore, that he is ever going to have a sustained run, top run in WWE. I can't see it. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong if he wins at Stomping Grounds this Sunday. So another thing that I liked that I wanted to point out on SmackDown Live was The Miz and his interruption of Shane McMahon and his little stable that he has going on there. I think it's I like Shane McMahon's stable. I went into depth in that last night on my Raw review, and I enjoy what Shane is doing right now. And he got his ass whooped by Roman Reigns that night before, and Miz came out and showed that clip and then showed it in slow motion. And he embarrassed Shane, and then he had a, for all intents and purposes, a handicap match against The Miz with Elias and Drew McIntyre, basically beating down The Miz after R-Truth got eliminated in this this tag team elimination match. They're doing a lot of elimination matches lately. I mean, that seems to just kind of be the new trend. The new trendy thing to do on Raw and SmackDown is just add new wrinkles, add new stipulations. Well, why? All of a sudden we're into, you know, two out of three falls is like the cool thing to do now, and elimination matches is a cool thing to do now. I mean, why? Explain why. I mean, I don't know. Why does it always have to happen on back-to-back shows? I mean, give us a reason why. I'm fine with doing it once in a while, but that's, again, this is not the problem in WWE. It's just putting a quick little Band-Aid, and it's like bleeding out. Like, say you had a really terrible neck injury, and your carotid artery is just spewing blood, and WWE is your doctor. They are the EMTs showing up to save your life, and they're like, oh, we got this. Here's a little color-coded Band-Aid for you. You know, here's a little Elmo Band-Aid for you. We'll put that right there. You're good. And, you know, basically does nothing, and you still bleed out and die. I mean, it's a morbid analogy. I have no idea why my brain chose that. But it's kind of that. Like, they're not addressing the issue. They're not addressing the problem at its core. They're just going, here, just kind of like put a little Band-Aid on the symptom. And but I think they believe that the symptoms are the problem, and that's unfortunately not the case. And you may say, well, what is the problem, Matt? Well, I don't have time to go into that other than to say that their presentation and their idea, Vince McMahon's idea of what pro wrestling should be, and it is pro wrestling. Don't give me the sports entertainment crap. It's not sports entertainment. Sports entertainment is not a thing, okay? Sports entertainment, are you entertained by sports? Well, then you could put baseball in sports entertainment. You could put football in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment is just a way to mask what they really are and that they try to run from, and that is they are a professional wrestling company trying to hide behind the sports entertainment label that really means nothing, and that they are trying to make sure that we're not wrestling. Yeah, you are. You entertain people by what? What do? You wrestle. You don't perform. You're not magicians. You're not a high school play. You're not a musical. You're not on Broadway. You are entertaining people through wrestling. Okay, so while they try to run from their identity, I'd like to remind them of who they are. And there, rant over for now. But again, this is the problem with WWE, that they try to just fix symptoms rather than root causes. But I think that they don't even understand what their root cause is, or at least the man in charge doesn't truly understand the root cause of declining ratings and low crowd interaction at times, low responses from crowds, quiet crowds. I mean, sometimes those are big, big, big red flags that need to be addressed and find out why this is happening, and yet they just sometimes it falls on deaf ears at times. Not all the time, but sometimes. So, all right. So I'm going to take another quick break, but on the other side of this, I've got some things I want to discuss about SmackDown Live that I wasn't a big fan of, and I think you guys will enjoy this one. So we're going to be right back after another word from our sponsor. Do you guys love to play video games? And do you have an Android phone? Then check out Gravity Maze. It's a super addictive game in which you press and hold the arrows to rotate the maze, and you try to fall as far as you can. You pick up coins along the way, just don't bump into the walls. It's got really good reviews, nearly 4 stars out of 5 on the Google Play Store. I downloaded this app, and let me tell you, I got lost in time. It's one of those deals where you just start playing, and the next thing you know, you just can't put it down. And I can tell you, Gravity Maze is one of those apps. So check out Gravity Maze on the Google Play Store right now. So have you guys tried CBD oil? If you haven't, I'd really recommend that you do. My wife loves it. It helps her relax. And I found a website that is probably the most comprehensive that there is. And that's CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore.com. And when you go on this website, first of all, you'll get a 15% discount on your first order, and you can join the email list for continued great price deals. But they don't just sell the oil. They also sell balms, lotions, capsules, pure CBD oil, obviously, and several pet products for your furry family members. So what exactly is CBD? It's a natural chemical compound that comes from the hemp plant, and it's one of over 85 compounds found in hemp, known as cannabinoids. However, CBD is not a psychotropic cannabinoid like THC. It's not what you find in marijuana, so CBD does not produce intoxication or euphoria. And guess what? It works. Like I said, my wife uses it. I've tried it, and it really just helps you calm down if you have anxiety issues or if you're stressed. This really can be a really awesome product. And right now, you can check the best deal that I've seen out on CBDBargainStore.com. Again, you'll get 15% off of your first order, and there's free shipping on orders of $75 and more. Oh, and did I mention that they have CBD peanut butter? Yeah, check that out. I love peanut butter, and if you love peanut butter, this is going to be your perfect combination. So check out CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore.com. All right, guys, welcome back, and let's jump into something that really, I'm going to try to be a bit reserved here. I'm not going to scream in your ear. I'm not going to be a Dolph Ziggler, but I have a real problem with the way in which WWE is presenting and utilizing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm fine with them being friends. Okay, I'm thinking that I actually like that. Okay, I know that they swore they'd never team up again, and they had a rivalry, and their rivalry seemed to go on for years, literally years, all the way from the NXT days when Kevin Owens turned on Sami and powerbombed him on the ring apron, all that. And they had so many good matches in WWE. That's not the problem. I'm fine with them coming to terms, especially now that they're heels. I'm fine with it, and they're teaming up and all that. So I'm fine with that again, but here's the issue I have. And if you listen to me before, you may know where I'm going with this. Wins and losses in professional wrestling typically don't mean, not even typically, they don't mean as much as they would in a traditional sport, whether it be baseball, whether it be football or basketball, whatever. Because there's no record keeping, at least official record keeping, for wins and losses like there would be for any traditional sports. You don't have a standings where you have Kevin Owens has 47 wins and I don't know, Kofi Kingston has 42 wins and 35 losses, so he's four losses behind Kevin Owens. I mean, just take a look at the standings in any traditional sport. So those don't exist. And I'm aware of that. I understand that. And I accept that. And I'm fine with it. Because it would just get way too convoluted to always make sure that your top guy has the most wins and losses, because it just would be insane, impossible to keep track. So that is out the window, and I understand. However, in WWE, wins and losses don't mean a whole lot. Outside of a championship match, because the championship could change hands, obviously, wins and losses don't seem to matter. And how many times do you see a champion like Samoa Joe win a championship for the first time and then subsequently lose every single match after that? And then only retain the belt when it's needed, but lose every single live event, lose every single TV show, and it just devalues and decredits that champion. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are the latest victims of this. Since they've both been reintroduced to the WWE audience, not a whole lot's changed. Other than Sami Zayn being the critic of the critics, which I like. The problem is, you can't get any heat on yourself if you always lose. And the heel, the babyface comes out and just beats the hell out of you. The crowd cheers, and then they were like, well, we already saw him get his ass whooped, so do I really want to pay to see it again? I mean, maybe. You know, it's a problem when you have a guy as talented on the mic as Sami Zayn. Or really a credit that he can get his heat back that quickly. But it's a shame that they are underutilizing him and devaluing him by having him lose every single match since he came back. Every single one. Somebody tell me, and I very well could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm sure the Twitter police will be on me on this. Has Sami Zayn won a match since he returned? I believe the answer is no. And if he has, no one remembers. Sami Zayn is a constant loser of a match. He cannot win a match to save his life. How is he supposed to gain any kind of steam with his character? How is he supposed to gain credibility as a character? Whether you're heel or face, you need to stack up wins. You need to get on a roll if you want to be in a top level program. You need that. This tells me that the way that they've been utilizing these two, they have no plans whatsoever for either man to be in the main event anytime soon. Which is a damn shame for both guys. A damn shame. Sami Zayn is so good on the mic. He's great at tearing down audiences. Kevin Owens, funny dude, but he's a better heel than he is a face. Although we haven't seen his babyface character get time to breathe outside of his quick 3-week stint with the New Day. But Kevin Owens has come back and basically not said a whole lot and lost to Kofi Kingston, loses this past week on SmackDown Live to Seth Rollins. It's a bit concerning that they are just throwing this talent away when Kevin Owens and to a higher degree Samoa Joe could be amazing heel champions if given the creative freedom to do so and the machine behind them. Now, I don't know if Kevin Owens was punished in some way for not going to Saudi Arabia. I don't know the backstory on that. Maybe this is WWE's way of saying, okay, you don't have to go to Saudi Arabia. Good luck the next few months on SmackDown Live. They could be their way of punishing him. I don't know. But Kevin Owens, I was hoping he'd come back and go on a tear. This is a guy that could go on a tear. This is a guy that beat John Cena his very first match on the main roster. I believe it was at an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in 2015, 16. Ended up beating John Cena. He felt like he belonged immediately. He was one of the very few guys to come up from NXT and not feel out of place and like he needs to find his footing. He just immediately felt like he belonged there. And he was the NXT champion at that time. Kevin Owens is a guy that needs to come back to his confidence, needs to get some wins under his belt. He needs them. Sammy needs them. Wins count when they are being used to build a star. You can lose a match here and there, but to lose clean, and that's the problem too, lose clean time after time after time and you're a heel, you're doomed. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I'm fearful of Sammy and Kevin right now. I don't like where they're at. I don't like where Samoa Joe's at for that matter either. Their booking scares the hell out of me. And it also makes me sad because all three could be top guys. And I'm not talking, well, you know, kind of the mid-upper card. I'm talking top, top guy. I'm talking like Universal Champion. I'm talking WWE Champion. And they could have monster heel runs. All three of them. But until I see some consistent, creative momentum behind any of these men, it's a, I'll believe it when I see it. That's unfortunately how I feel with them. And it's just so irritating as a fan to know the talent that's in front of you and to see it wasted. So let me know what you guys think about that, by the way. You know, let me know what you guys think. Do you agree with me about Sammy, Kevin, and Samoa Joe? Do you guys think they could be top stars if given the correct creative and the blessing by Vincent Kennedy McMahon? I sure as hell do. And I'm tired of seeing Kevin Owens play the, you know, chicken, heel. I want to see him as a badass. I don't care if he's got a little bit of an extra gut on him. I don't care if he has a little extra weight. He's not cut like the rest of the guys. Doesn't matter. I need these three before they're out of their prime and Samoa Joe's getting there to be used in a way that maximizes their strengths, hides their weaknesses, and they are given the freedom and a real, genuine effort to see if they can hang at the top. Because I believe all three of them could. So that's my spiel on those three that are just on a massive losing streak that don't need to be. And it's, yeah, wins and losses don't matter. There's no standings. But when it happens over and over and over and over, it gets noticed. And it's harder to forget those losses when your mind is conditioned to believe that they are going to lose this match. So, another thing that I want to briefly touch on is a wild card deal, and you guys know how I feel about it, so I'm not going to repeat what I say about, well, how does it work? And you guys feel that, I heard somebody say that, yeah, you're thinking about it too much, it's a fantasy environment. So you want me to just be an idiot, play the idiot fan that is so naive that I don't care about how the wildcard rule works. I'm just supposed to go, well, whoever shows up. I'm not going to count. Well, the way my brain works, and when it does work, I should say, is that I want to know how things happen. I don't need to go into the nitty-gritty, into the weeds. I just need to know basics. Lie to me. Give me anything. Anything. Anything, how this wildcard rule works. And furthermore, even though they've implemented this wildcard rule, I think it's twofold. Number one, it's a cover-up for terrible booking and gives them more flexibility to run main storylines through two shows. And it's also a telltale sign of their failure, WWE's failure, to create big stars. Because you wouldn't have this crossover, semi-crossover, but there's kind of a brand split, if you didn't need the big stars, and I put that in quotations, on both shows. If you did and there was sufficient talent, you would keep these brands separate because it would be that much more special when they did collide. And don't forget, Survivor Series, guys, is the one and only time of year that SmackDown and Raw goes head-to-head. Don't forget that. Cannot wait to hear their tagline for this year. I can't wait. I'm excited. I really can't wait to hear what kind of BS they spew out of that. If they actually say that, they're trolling fans. I mean, you can't say that with a straight face. Not all these cute taglines that they have for every single pay-per-view. I went on a little bit of a rant on this last night because of all the wrestlers that had to put that tagline in their promo. Was there a memo sent out? Was there a group text sent out to every talent that said, make sure you put in your promo somehow, you're going to kick ass and take names? Why do you have to do that? It's such a corporate stooge thing to say. Why does everybody have to say it? Dolph Ziggler even snuck in his promo. Oh, I heard it. Why? I'll stop there because I feel like I'm going to repeat my issue from last night. So let me also end on a positive note, because that's what I want to do here. I'm going to bring a little bit of the power of positivity to this show. I think it needs it. And that is what I liked of Otis and Tucker, Heavy Machinery. Obviously, Otis is the star of the team. Eventually, this team will break up. That's the purpose of any team, typically, is to just build separate stars, and then you break off, maybe you feud with each other, and you build new stars. That's just been the cycle. I mean, look at history of wrestling. But as it stands right now, I like this team. Yeah, they beat the B team clean. They're clearly on a tag team championship mission. I don't think they'll get there right away. I like Daniel Bryan, and I like Rowan. Rowan has never been more relevant in his career. Think about how far he's ascended from the days of the Wyatt family, when he was just wearing a sheet mask, being a drone. He has ascended pretty far, and that's a credit to Daniel Bryan and the creative team for being able to put this in place for Rowan. He has a voice now. They're booking him as a monster and kicking out of finishers and not just, you know, getting pinned with one move at WrestleMania by The Rock. He is becoming a bigger star in front of our eyes. How big he becomes? Up to creative, up to him. But I like the fact that we are getting to see a different side of Rowan and the growth of Rowan. Not Eric Rowan. Careful if you have two names in WWE. Careful. You'll probably lose one within a few months. Vince McMahon just go, nah, I don't like that. You're just Rowan. You're not Antonio Cesaro. You're just Cesaro. I mean, think of the guys. You're not Andrade Cien Almas. You're just Andrade. I mean, the list goes on and on. So be careful. Anybody in WWE that has two names or more, you have a very good likelihood of getting your name abbreviated or chopped. It is what it is. All right. But I like Heavy Machinery. Otis is extremely entertaining. He is the comedy act that can be serious when he needs to be. He imitated the Bushwhackers on the way to the ring. And the quote of the night had to have been from Corey Graves interacting with Byron, I believe. And when Otis was imitating the Bushwhackers on his way to the ring, it was pointed out that by Byron that they were imitating the Bushwhackers, and Corey Graves said, did they ever win tag team championships? The answer is no, they didn't. And so then somebody said that, yeah, they were jokes. And then Byron goes, well, they're in the WWE Hall of Fame. Why would you say that? Somebody just said that they were jokes in their career, and that, oh, well, they're inducted into the Hall of Fame. So they were never tag team champions. They were just called jokes. And then someone mentions that they're Hall of Famers. You don't want to do that, because what does that say in between the lines? We have Hall of Famers who are jokes. That's essentially the sentence that was put together in my brain. I don't know. Not a big deal. I'm not going to go on a rant about it. It's just like, wait, what did you just say? Why did you bring that up now? Why would it just was a poorly timed observation by the team. So, but again, I'm excited for Heavy Machinery. I think they have a huge upside, and they are clearly on track to become tag team champions at some point. But as far as Daniel Bryan and Roman go, I like where they're at. I like Daniel Bryan's promos. I'd like to see him get a little more airtime rather than Shane McMahon and his stable get, you know, suck up 50% of the 50% of the show. I think there's a lot they haven't done with Rowan and Daniel Bryan yet. So hopefully they have a much longer run as the Planet's champions. They are they're obnoxious. Daniel Bryan, credit to Daniel Bryan to be able to turn all the fans against him for the most part. It's an amazing heel turn, amazing run as a heel. So credit to him, kudos to him, and really creative to whatever extent I can give them credit for. I'm a little bit skeptical whenever it comes to the success of a star, how much they actually have to take credit for. But I like the Planet's champions. They fit well as tag team champions. But I'm excited for the tag team division on SmackDown more than I have been in months. And that's a positive thing, and I wanted to end it on a positive note. So I'll end it there with the SmackDown Live review. But one more thing. I did see Ember Moon and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville get in the backstage, scuff, whatever. Ember Moon's standing up for herself, and she's not backstage, reading books. That's a good thing, and I'll take that as a positive. Go to WWEpodcast.com. We have a ton of new articles. We have four or five new staff members who are contributors for the website, and that's a cool deal. One just went up today about Lars Sullivan, who is injured and I think got his push derailed. I don't know how serious his injury is. Reports are conflicting that he'll be back, sooner than later. Some are saying it's more serious. I don't know, but there's a really good article up about Lars Sullivan, AEW, the Beast in the Bank. I wrote one about Shane McMahon. Is there any truth to him being the best in the world? So there's some really cool opinion columns that are out there, and I'm always grateful for those who are contributing to the website. It's making the website a success, and I want to thank you for it. So, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow to round out the week with my co-host Anthony DeMarco. We'll be going over some news stories of Raw and SmackDown, and then going over our predictions for the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view, which takes place on Sunday. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Do you guys love to play video games? And do you have an Android phone? Then check out Gravity Maze. It's a super addictive game in which you press and hold the arrows to rotate the maze, and you try to fall as far as you can. You pick up coins along the way, just don't bump into the walls. It's got really good reviews, nearly 4 stars out of 5 on the Google Play Store. I downloaded this app, and let me tell you, I got lost in time. It's one of those deals where you just start playing, and the next thing you know, you just can't put it down. And I can tell you Gravity Maze is one of those apps. So check out Gravity Maze on the Google Play Store right now.